I've written a column for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. We all make predictions. We say, maybe this is going to happen, maybe that will happen. The world is full of predictions. It's part of our politics, it's part of our everyday life, it's part of our planning procedures, it's part of sports. Predictions are commonplace. But the person who's predicting how well a baseball player is going to hit this next season, if they ever have a season, doesn't say, God told me this. He doesn't say, I heard this directly from God. That's a different kind of a prediction. You get that wrong, how do you explain your false prophecy? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time for This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, explanations from the false prophets as to why they were wrong about the pandemic. Joining us, Pastor Chris Rosebro, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Did any of these modern day prophets get the pandemic right, and did they see it coming?
No, not a single one of them. A great example of this, if you were to go onto YouTube and visit the YouTube channel of Sid Roth, It's Supernatural, that's the name of his program. Back on January 15th of this year, he touted that he was bringing onto his program 20 of the most notable and accurate prophets of our days, and what they were seeing was coming for the year 2020. Not a single one of them on that prophetic program even gave us a hint that there was going to be a global pandemic, that the world economies were going to melt down, that we were all going to be locked up in our houses for 2 months, that we weren't able to have church service. None of this stuff was even seen at all. Everyone was talking about 2020 vision and stuff like that. And I would even go to the archives of Issues Etc. You and I covered some of the more notable prophecies for the year 2020 back in January. Ain't none of them saw this thing coming, that's for sure.
Okay, so I've been thinking about this lately, and I'm wondering whether or not the people who consume this kind of modern-day prophecy do so the same way I consume the prognosticators of sabermetrics in baseball. Well, a guy looks at the data and he says, I think he's going to likely to hit, you know, 280 this year by the end of the season. And I wonder if they take it with that level of seriousness.
You know, that's a good question. I will say this, is that the prophets, the people who claim to be prophets today, and those churches that claim that signs and wonders and the prophetic office are for today, they quote Amos 3:7 as their justification for their existence. And Amos 3:7, if you read it out of context, says, "For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets." And so they say, therefore, God cannot act contrary to this statement of his, and so it is necessary that God tell us what's coming up in the year ahead or in the days ahead or in the season ahead and things like this. And this, so they justify their existence this way. But when you listen to the prophecies, they are these one-size-fits-all. I call them prophetic onesies. And usually it's just word salad that can kind of be applied one way or another. On my YouTube channel, with some regularity, we play this thing called Prophecy Bingo. And what I've noted is that what they do is they recite the same words over and over again. They just kind of mix them up into different sentences. So they'll say things like, in the season ahead, this is a Kairos season, and God is going to be releasing breakthrough and suddenlies and things like this. But it doesn't mean anything. But people hang on them because they believe they have to hear from God.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We'll get to some of those false prophets' explanations next.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about explanations by so-called prophets on why they were wrong about the pandemic. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. Chris, which prophet are we going to hear from first?
We're going to hear from Patricia King. She recently did a Zoom live stream thing where she invited Daniel Kalenda and Stacey Campbell, both notable modern-day prophets, you have to put that in air quotes, to discuss what went wrong, and the admissions here are quite fascinating, so we'll let Patricia King admit that none of them saw it coming.
Because I do believe it's going to be a meaningful conversation where we're going to talk about some challenging subjects, maybe some uncomfortable subjects for you. But I think it's important that the body of Christ mature in this hour. And one of the ways that we mature is to look at hard things and see how we can grow and see how we can learn more skills or draw closer to the Lord, whatever is needed. And so with me today, I have two very special friends of mine, Daniel Kalenda from CFAN, and also Stacey Campbell, who is a very seasoned prophet and very much respected in the body of Christ. So what we want to open up with today is, Daniel, yesterday we were recording a session with a number of prophets, and one of your opening questions to us was, where have we been in this hour? We've got this global pandemic happening. The economy tanked. People were out of jobs everywhere. People are dying everywhere. And it doesn't seem that hardly any prophets picked up on it. At least it wasn't decreed. And I know for sure some did. Generally speaking, it wasn't on the body of Christ's radar. It caught us by surprise. And so you asked a question. The question was like, why? Why wasn't this picked up on? And then the other point you made was also, I think, very valid. You said, and then once it happened, we were getting prophetic words that were saying everything's going to be okay. It's not a big deal. It's going to be fine. And of course, people ended up dying, and our nations were very much impacted by it. The economies were impacted by it. And so, of course, the prophetic credibility is in question.
So, Chris, that's a pretty big admission. I don't think I've ever heard any of them ever on any of their predictions say that they didn't see it coming and then they got it wrong. What are your thoughts there?
All right. So, as much as this sounds like a profound admission on her part, the reality is this, is that there is a biblical standard. Now, you and I both love baseball. We do. In fact, I'm jonesing right now, jonesing for a good Dodger game, and I know you're doing the same thing for the Cardinals. But be that as it may, if there is a fellow on either of our teams who's hitting 320, okay, he's doing really good. He's pulling in a bazillion dollars a year. I mean, 320, that's a great batting average. But that means that that when he goes to bat, 7 times out of 10, he's not going to get on base. He's going to get out. 3 times out of 10, he's going to get on base. But you're going to note the biblical standard, according to Deuteronomy 18, for somebody who claims to be a prophet is not 300, it's not 400, 500, it's 1,000. Every time you say something's gonna happen, it's gotta happen. And according to Deuteronomy 18, if it don't happen, then you are a presumptuous prophet. You have spoken presumptuously words that God has not spoken. You are then guilty of breaking the second commandment, which is blaspheming and deceiving by God's name. And that makes you a false prophet. And if you're a false prophet in the Mosaic Covenant, well, you don't get a second chance. You get stoned to death. And so here, Patricia King saying, well, we didn't see it coming. It's worse than that, because not only did she not see it coming, what she prophesied God was telling her was going to happen for 2020. Not only did she not see what was coming, what she said was going to happen didn't happen, which makes her a false prophet.
Before we hear the next one, can you briefly explain what the body of Christ radar is supposed to be? I heard her mention that.
So, again, that's going back to Amos 3:7. You know, God does nothing unless he first reveals it to the prophets. So in her way of thinking, prophets are there for the purpose of preparing the body of Christ for what's coming next. They serve a radar function to let us know what is ahead of us into the future so that we can plan and strategize accordingly as the body of Christ. At least that's how her theology works.
You know, see, if the radar worked that bad on an airplane, I think they would replace it. Who's next? This is Daniel Kalenda's explanation?
Yeah, so Daniel Kalenda, this is him going to admit that they missed it. And Daniel Kalenda, he is now the head of a very notable charismatic NAR ministry that he inherited from the late Reinhard Bonnke, who is internationally well known within the charismatic movement. He's now the head of Reinhard Bonnke's ministry. Bonnke died a while back. So here's Daniel Kalenda agreeing that they didn't see this coming.
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to thank you, Patricia, for taking that so seriously, because I think there's been a trend in the past that a lot of times the prophetic words are just kind of like shotguns. And if we hit it, we hit it. If not, then there's never any accountability. And I feel like what you're doing by taking this seriously is exactly what we all need in this hour, because we need to be held accountable. And again, like I said to you guys on the interview, I'm not passing the buck off to the prophet saying, why didn't you pick up on this? Because really, we're all supposed to be hearing from God. So it kind of blindsided everybody. And I know that there were, like, I've heard some people, you know, that pulled up some old prophecies that, you know, they could kind of apply maybe. But I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is not a small thing. This is not like just something that affected one country or one denomination. This is a global pandemic that literally brought the entire planet to its knees. For the first time in history, the whole world has come to a stop. And it's affected the economy. It's affected governments. It's affected health, all these things. And it just seems like the kind of thing that the prophetic would have been really good. It would have been good to know this. It would have been good if we'd have heard this. Imagine if the prophets would have been saying, this is coming, this is coming. And then it happened. Imagine the kind of faith and the kind of credibility that would be in the prophetic community right now because of this. And on the other side, what I've heard is people saying, you know, where were the prophets? Because the prophets we heard were saying, this wasn't going to last. Don't worry. This is going to be over by April. And now here we are, and it's not over. And I just feel like it's you know, you even alluded to this a little bit yesterday when we were talking, that I feel like things are becoming more serious in the world as a whole. And as things get more serious, the prophetic becomes more important. And as the prophetic becomes more important, there's going to be a higher level of scrutiny on every level. And so I think that perhaps even one of the reasons God has allowed this to come is as a wake-up call. That's one of the things that I've been sensing. And it's a wake-up call in a lot of areas. And perhaps this is one of the things that God wants to sort of jolt us and cause us to come to new levels of perception and sensitivity and making sure that we are listening to what he's saying.
So let me get this straight. Because no one saw it coming, his conclusion, and all these prophets were dead wrong, even after it was evident there was a pandemic, they were dead wrong on the second count. Somehow this was God withholding the knowledge from the prophets so that when the prophets speak again, you'll really, really listen to them, even though they were wrong twice.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of doubling down that you're hearing here. And the thing that should be on their radar, he was right when he said that this is a wake-up call, but not in the way that he's describing. This should be a wake-up call to them that they have broken the second commandment, that they are false prophets, that they are not hearing the voice of the Lord. And repentance means saying, my name is Daniel Kalenda, and I am a false prophet. And accountability means sitting every one of these prophets down and saying, you don't get to teach nobody nothing nowhere, because you lied when you said, thus saith the Lord, because the Lord didn't thus saith, and we have objective proof to that account. Consider the words of Ezekiel 13. Ezekiel 13:3 says, thus says Yahweh Elohim, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Your prophets have been like jackals among ruins, O Israel. You've not gone up into the breaches or built a wall for the house of Israel that it might stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen false visions and lying divinations. They say, declares the Lord, when the Lord has not sent them, and yet they expect him to fulfill their word. And that's the problem with today's so-called prophets. They have not heard from God. We now have objective, embarrassing proof to that fact. And rather than saying, you know what, this is a wake-up call, I'm lying about God, about hearing him, and I need to repent, and I need to be forgiven for my blasphemy, instead they're basically saying, you know what we need to do is we need to go back and review the film reel and figure out how to improve our skills and stuff, and this needs to be a wake-up call that we need to apply ourselves doubly to what we've been doing. But everything they've been doing is false and has failed, and they're not coming to grips with that fact.
He also admitted very briefly that a lot of their predictions are just this kind of super general shotgun thing that they just toss out there, which could apply to almost any situation at all and simply cannot be falsified.
Yep.
I mean, no one who predicts anything like stock market, sports, any of those things gets to make, you know, we're looking for a year of prosperity and a season of increase. No one gets to make predictions like that who gets paid to make predictions.
Right. Except for maybe people who predict the weather. But you'll notice they always give you a percentage chance. There's a 50% chance of rain tomorrow. And so if it doesn't rain, you told me there would be rain. They said, no, I told you there'd be a 50% chance. But the thing is that these people aren't even as accurate as the worst weathermen on planet Earth. I mean, what they say are these meaningless, empty prophetic buzzwords in a word salad kind of format that don't mean anything, and nobody is held accountable at all. And you can tell that they're false prophets not only by the vagaries of their prophecies, but by the way they mishandle God's word and the false doctrines that accompany them.
We're back to Patricia King. What should we listen for?
All right, so in this one, she's going to make an interesting admission, and we'll talk about the implications of it, that the prophetic, you know, the office of prophet is a very new thing in the body of Christ, very new. And then she's going to give her explanation, a very pious-sounding explanation, as to why she missed it.
The prophetic movement is a very new movement. In fact, prior to 1970s, really the body wasn't acquainted with the prophetic or prophets, hardly at all. And especially that all prophets could prophesy. But then you have the likes of Bill Hammond in the USA, Mary Goddard in Canada, and other people around the world who started teaching the body of Christ that all could prophesy and teaching them how to hear from God, what the importance of the prophetic was. And so it started to get oiled. The machine started to get oiled that way. And then in the 1980s into the 1990s, we started hearing about the office of a prophet. Prior to that, we really hadn't heard much, but it's very new. If you think of it from 1970 to 2020, that's not very many years.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
So we are in an infancy stage of the prophetic right now. And I believe that when we went into this, because it's so easy, and you must know this as an evangelist also, that you are praying and fasting and gaining ground and your anointing and the burden for souls and everything. But after you break through into a realm, you don't have to fight for that realm anymore. It's just like a natural burden. It's a natural anointing. And whereas before you might have prayed 15 hours before you got out on a platform, there is a grace there that you've been birthed into that you can kick into that anointing without the same amount of prayer and energy. And I think it's the same in the prophetic. And the danger of that is that we can get very used to moving in the grace of it without fresh seeking, right? That's, without the fresh contending, without the fasting and prayer that we used to do, and the absolute turning our heart toward God. And when a lot of distractions get into our life, it can actually distract us from going to him fresh every time. And I know, like, I'm just going to be honest, like, I've done that myself. You know, I've done it where, you know, you're busy all day working in the ministry, you had your prayer time in the morning, and you hop into a pulpit, and you're going, and you hop in, and you start ministering, and you're ministering out of a grace that has been contended for in the past. And I'm not saying that that happens every time, but there are times when I have done that. I'm just confessing that honestly right now.
Is she saying that she got sloppy with the Word of God or with her prophetic antennae?
That's you're close. You're in the ballpark there. So what she was basically saying is that she had got busy. I mean, in years past, she claims that she contended for prophetic words from God via her praying and fasting and spiritual disciplines and things like this, but she's been very busy lately, so she didn't contend enough through prayer and fasting for fresh words from God, and as a result of how busy she has been, she didn't contend enough to get a fresh enough word, and that's really the reason why she fell short. And of course, you know, the prophetic is still in its infancy stage, you know.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity Today. Prophets' explanations of why they, well, essentially are false prophets, even though they still want you to listen to them for a word from God. We'll hear from Prophet Michael Brown next.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're going to continue our romp through Romans. God's righteousness upheld, no one righteous. Righteousness with God given, justification upholds the law, and Abraham justified by faith. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Weddings and pandemics, that seems like an odd combination, but it's the May issue of the Lutheran Witness in sickness and in health. The church will only survive COVID-19 by focusing on Christ, who offered his life for his bride that she might be spotless. So also the bride and groom will only fulfill their wedding vows in sickness and in health by focusing on Christ and his word of forgiveness. Subscribe to the Lutheran Witness at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, cph.org/witness.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're visiting Frankenmuth, Michigan, come to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in nearby Frankentrost. A hardy band of German missionaries founded Emmanuel Frankentrost in the wilderness near Saginaw. At Emmanuel, you can still hear the law and gospel in a beautiful liturgical service, just like those first settlers. For directions and divine service times, visit frankentrost.org. That's FrankenTrost.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/LCMSU.
I think this is why tolerance is so popular as a virtue. You can do that from your couch. You know, you can just lay there and do nothing, and you're successfully tolerating everything in the world. It doesn't really require anything of you.
In the 17th century, Anglicans and Puritans made up at least 70% of Americans. By 1800, they made up 5%. Why? They just made enemies by discriminating.
He's saying all these sorts of things that sort of make it sound as though, you know, he's trapped and he made a bad decision and now he's trying to, you know, just make the best of a terrible thing. But the reality is he just wants to quit and he's willing to sacrifice his marriage to pursue his own happiness.
The devil who wants to separate us from Christ, who throws these horrible lies into our ears that no one cares, there's no hope for you. Those are untrue things. The answer to despair is the living Savior, Todd.
We'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in about 15 minutes. Those four soundbites in their entirety, your phone calls, your email, your votes on Twitter and under our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, will decide which will be soundbite of the week. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about explanations from false prophets as to why their prophecies were false. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. Chris, you mentioned before the break that one of the big excuses here is, oh, we're all so new to this. This is, you know, this is barely in its infancy, this prophetic movement. What are your thoughts on that?
All right. So think of it this way. I don't know if you're familiar with the dichotomy between what today the charismatic movement calls continuationists versus cessationists. One of the things that they lodge against Lutherans and guys in the Reform camp is they'll say, you can't listen to those guys because they are quote-unquote cessationists. In other words, we believe that the apostolic sign gifts that we see in the New Testament, that they ceased with the death of the apostles. This is why there are no prophets or apostles today. And so the charismatic tries to take the biblical high ground and they say, we are continuationists. But the problem is this, is that if you know your Pentecostal history, and I know some of that history from being a former person who was in the Pentecostal charismatic movement, is that you know then that the leaders who started the Azusa Street Revival, which is the one that kind of kicked off the whole Pentecostal movement, they were cessationists. And they claimed that at Azusa Street, God restored the charismatic gifts. And Patricia King, what she admitted in that soundbite that we just listened to, is another bit of this, is that when it came to prophets and apostles, she was a cessationist until the 1980s when she claimed, when she was told that God had restored prophets. And so anybody who's a Pentecostal who claims that they are continuationists, they don't know their history. And what Patricia King inadvertently did there was admit that she was a cessationist when it came to the prophetic, and that's why it's still in its infancy.
What are we going to hear from Michael Brown?
All right, so Michael Brown, who is also a notable apostolic leader, and he denies being in the NAR, but he does claim to speak prophetically. This is his explanation as to why they all got it wrong and what category we should put all these prophets who didn't accurately prophesy regarding the pandemic and things like that.
Let me address this issue. In the New Testament, a false prophet is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Jesus in Matthew 7 warns about them. He says in Matthew 7, beware of false prophets. You know, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are dangerous. They are ravenous wolves, all right? He gives that warning. They are not sincere people who made a mistake. They are not sincere leaders, godly leaders who made a mistake somewhere. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, what about someone who claims to be a prophet and prophesies falsely? Do we call that person a false prophet? Well, if they, in fact, are not believers, if they, in fact, are wolves in sheep's clothing, then yes, we identify them as such. But otherwise, we simply say you are falsely calling yourself a prophet. I'll give you an example. Someone says, God's called me to teach, and they're opening up the scriptures, and they're butchering the Bible. Now, this person's a believer, all right? They're a believer. But they say, you know, the Lord's anointed me to teach. He's called me to teach. And they're butchering the scripture. Do I call that person a false teacher? Not if they're a believer. As I understand, a false teacher, 2 Timothy 2, is a non-believer who leads people into condemnation with their false doctrine. All right? If somebody's just not interpreting the Bible well and not using right principles of teaching and they're falsely calling themselves a teacher, I'll say, you're not a teacher. You're falsely calling yourself a teacher, but you're not a teacher. But if they teach heresy, you know, like Mormonism or something like that, or some blatant denial of the gospel, then I'd say you are a false teacher. The same way, if someone's claiming prophetic gifting and prophetic power and is a deceiver and a charlatan and a fraud, then I would call that person a false prophet. But if someone says the Lord gave me this word and he showed me that on Sunday there's going to be a rainbow over the entire United States, and that rainbow is going to signify peace between the Democrats and Republicans. Well, Sunday happens and there's no rainbow over the entire United States and there's no peace between Democrats and Republicans. I won't call that person a false prophet unless I know for sure that they are not believers, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. But I would say you're not a prophet, or you're falsely claiming to be a prophet, or you're prophesying falsely.
So, Chris, did he in essence say, look, you, these prophets out there who got this wrong, it's okay because they believe in Jesus.
That's right. Yeah. It was a slipsy oopsie doopsie. It was a mistake. And that's kind of the weird thing about this, because he notes that heretics are those who deceive. But my question for Michael Brown would be, isn't it the ultimate deception and heresy to say, thus saith the Lord? Because that's what they do when they prophesy, when the Lord hasn't thus saith. What could possibly explain that? The person who hasn't heard from God, who is claiming to speak from God and to speak his words, if they haven't received those words from God, then they are by necessity deceivers. Unless, of course, he wants to say that they're mentally ill. Either case, then we need to sit them down. I mean, maybe they're just innocent by virtue of mental illness. But the one thing we can say is anybody who says, thus saith the Lord, when God hasn't thus saith, they are by definition a deceiver and a heretic of the worst rank according to Scripture. Because God gives the strongest warnings to those who blaspheme his name in this way, that he says that he will remember their sins and he will not blot out their transgressions. Those are the very threats that God gives to people who transgress his second commandment in this way. And so this weird dichotomy that Michael Brown has come up with to turn them into believers who just made a mistake, this is not a biblical category, and this is to take the most egregious of blasphemies and to minimalize it and dilute it into such a way that it's just an oopsie-doopsie.
Chris, I got to ask myself, why would these people who ordinarily say, ah, come on, they're just going to give me a pass because I just do this shotgun prophecy every year that doesn't really mean anything, and people still eat it up, why would they, you know, gather together to make these admissions? As equivocating as they are, they're still making these admissions. Do you think that they are hearing from people who say, wow, if you're really the prophet you claim to be, how did you miss this and how did you get it so wrong?
Yes, that's exactly what is happening. You'll note that that there are several viral videos that have gone out during the pandemic as a result of prophetic words of Kenneth Copeland and others that have turned out to be false. And the thing is that these so-called prophets have got it not wrong by a small degree. They got it 180 degrees wrong. And even in charismatic circles, 180 degrees wrong is quite noticeable. And what's ending up happening is that there are people who are publicly calling them out who are both Christians and pagans, and there are people who've cut them off financially. They're bleeding money as a result of just how far they've got it wrong, and they can't ignore this. And so they're trying to find a way to talk about what happened without biblically addressing the real core issue. And the real core issue is they're false prophets and they're not hearing from God. There's no other way around it.
They got to fear the time when they come back and they've got their big congregations in front of them again and they say, God told me. Mm-hmm. And those people out there are going to be looking at them with the side eye saying, did he really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, the whole credibility of the entire prophetic movement has burned to the ground during the pandemic. It's one of the things I consider to be the silver lining in the midst of all of this bad news. They have been shown to be utterly powerless, shown to be false teachers and false prophets, and it's obvious. It's except to the most hardened of hearts, the best way I could put it.
With only 30 seconds, do you think it's possible that this utter failure, this utter collapse of the alleged new prophecy movement in this time might wisen up some who have been following it?
Yes, and I know for a fact that it has. But the reality is that as people's eyes are being opened, they feel that they have been deceived. And some people feel like they've been deceived to the point where they're saying Christianity is not true. And so let's just put it this way. If you have a friend who's expressing sentiments on social media going, you know what, I've just realized that all of Christianity is false because Patricia King said this year was going to go this way and it didn't go this way, it went the opposite direction, so therefore Jesus isn't real, reach out to that person and and privately assure them that it's Jesus is real. They just weren't believing and being taught biblical Christianity. And so this is a sad thing that's going on. There's a lot of people who are having their eyes open right now, and they're openly discussing this right now. And there's a sizable number of people who are asking tough questions and basically ready to leave Christianity altogether and say that Christ didn't rise from the grave and as a result of this. And so that's the other end of this. And you know, as somebody who's been watching this all happen, I've been personally reaching out to as many people as possible to basically say, no, you haven't been taught Christianity. Let's go back to the basics and start over. And you'll see that that Jesus is real. These people were false prophets, the very false prophets that Jesus prophesied would come. And so point to the prophecies that Jesus gave regarding these yahoos, and now you have the ability to say, wait a second, Jesus called this one 2,000 years ago. We're talking about in the last days it would be false prophets. So Jesus got it right, and so you can work that way to help bring them to a proper understanding of the Bible and who Jesus is and what Christianity is.
Will you be responding to more oopsie doopsies on Fighting for the Faith tonight?
No, tonight we are going to be dealing with the impact that false doctrine has on your brain. One of the gifts of the Spirit is a sound mind, and so we're going to be taking a look at just some crazy things that happens and how false doctrine gets people into kind of a really, really weird mental health spin. And so we're going to be looking at the impact that false doctrine and false prophecy has on people.
Listen to Chris Roseborough in Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. at 5 Central at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to be hearing some of our sound bites, and you'll be voting for which one you think should be soundbite of the week. One from Matt Walsh, one from Lyman Stone, one from Pastor David Peterson, and a fourth from Dr. Christian Kincaid. Stay tuned. I've written a column for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scair, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
if when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.